It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
To the game. The young core won again last night. They beat up on the Pacers. But the reporting is that, nope, not us. We're not interested in trading for Giannis. The internet doesn't believe the Rockets side of the story, by the way. Not surprising that the internet is skeptical. This comes from Kelly Eco of The Athletic. And we'll hear from Brian Windhorst about who's untouchable in the Rockets in a little bit too. But after a couple days of how much would it take to secure Giannis if he wanted to leave Milwaukee, which is another part of the equation. There's no belief that he actually wants out. The Rockets have let the world know through one of the local reporters that they're not trading their young core for Giannis. Do I believe they wouldn't do it? No. I just think it makes good business sense, considering the Bucks' unlikeliness to actually trade him, to let everyone know. No one's on the table. Hey, guys, don't worry about it. At the time of the report, they were 10-5. Now they're 11-5. Guys, you're not going anywhere. We love you all. And at least right now, they should. They beat Indiana in a game that was 70-67. And then the Rockets went on a 16-5 run. And the game was never close after that. Credits to Albert Shingun for bouncing back from early foul trouble. Some guy named Quentin Jackson drew two fouls on him in a matter of minutes. And that short-circuited his start. But the Rockets are hard to play against, and for all the jokes we'll make about their lack of shooting, and of course the praise we'll give to the Terror Twins, they are hard to play against. There's no one's interested in playing the way the Rockets play, or at least playing against them on a Wednesday night in November. The Pacers weren't looking for that. The Pacers aren't a team that likes to play defense anyway. They're hurt right now. I mentioned a Quentin Jackson who doesn't really get minutes except when they're missing parts of their guard rotation. I think Nimhard and there's one other guy who didn't play, who plays a big part in what they want to do. They
Ben Shepherd.
No, that's the third guy. It's Ben Shepherd, it's Nimhard, and then there's Neesmith, who didn't play either.
Yeah.
So it's all three of them. Like, Ben Shepherd would have started yesterday except for not being available. So Quentin Jackson played, and he did some things early. But obviously a guy who is probably their fifth best guard, he wasn't going to be a great impact on the game. So the Rockets win. But no one wants to play the way they play in November on a Wednesday. The Pacers didn't, and it showed. After the Rockets put a kick in, took it to an extra gear in the middle of that third quarter, the Indiana Pacers like, oh, you know what, we're banged up. It's the first game of this trip. We're out of here. Don't worry about us. You guys got this. And the Rockets did. It was a celebration last night. You had the former players back celebrating the 94 title team and the 95 team. Vernon Maxwell was in the building. Hakeem was in the building. Kenny Smith, Mario Elie, they're all there celebrating. I don't know if Bullitt was there. You did ask that question yesterday.
I saw a tweet saying
okay,
it was.
Matt Bullitt was there. I imagine all those guys. I mean, I don't want to be like, hey, I ain't got nothing to do. Why wouldn't you show up? But like, Kenny Smith actually has stuff to do. I know he does. I watch him on TV Tuesdays and Thursday nights. But for a Wednesday night, Kenny didn't have anything to do. So he was there. That was nice. And Sean, I know you wanted them to wear their throwbacks. You saw them in the jerseys representing the banners. What did you think of them in live action?
they look just like the Banners. couldn't believe how much like the Banners they. No, they're fine. They're perfectly fine jerseys.
Perfectly fine is not a bad way to describe
it. Looks a lot better when you win by 17.
When you're 11-5 and you beat up on the Pacers, it does look a lot better. And that's where they are.
Forced 23 turnovers.
Yeah. I mean, they're a team who gets after you. And when they do force turnovers, their ability to convert those into buckets at the rim, they're pretty good at that. I don't know about their half-court offense. In fact, I do know about the half-court offense. I watch them enough to know. It's not great. But their ability to turn you over, and even when they don't, when you shoot a bad shot and they get a rebound, they'll push the ball up the floor, and they like early offense. If you get the Rockets into the back half of the shot clock, you got a real shot to stop the possession. But they want to get up the floor quickly, find that first look before you're back and set, and then they'll run their offense that way. So another really nice win. Indiana was a playoff team last year. Hell, made the Eastern Conference Finals. They're not what they were. Partly because of injury and maybe partly because that was a phony run. Indiana, I'm not sure we believe is a real contender to make another run like that. But, hey, they were hurt, banged up. They're coming into your building. You took care of them. You allowed that fourth quarter to be mostly an exhibition. And that's good. Another one nice to bounce back after the loss in Milwaukee.
Tyrese Halliburton, your Linsanity run is over.
I've seen people put that out there.
4 points, 1-for-7.
It's been a rough go for Tyrese Halliburton. He is not the guy he was to start last year. Even in the middle of last year, there was some fall off. He's been injured too. The internet jokes about him and his proclivities off the court are funny. Just look up Tyrese Halliburton. You'll see some of that stuff people make jokes about. But he's a good player. He found his way onto the Olympic team and did not play, and everyone understood why. He probably can't be the best player on a title contender, at least from what I've seen.
No, I 100% agree. He has very funny home road splits. He averages 20.8 at home and 11.8 on the road. He's a nice, cool 9-point drop off.
It's not still called Conseco, but he's a field house merchant?
Yeah, he is a field house merchant. He's shooting 40% from three at home, 20% on the road.
Oh, that's rough.
That's bad.
That is rough. And on the year, he's been bad. He's under 40% from the floor, under 30% for three. Not exactly the guy who was an all-star last year, Tyrese Halliburton. He coming off the Olympic experience, people expect that to be a giant jump. Like, Bam hasn't come off the Olympic experience playing well, so maybe we stop saying, "Hey, you get around all these superstars and you up your game." It doesn't happen all the time.
I mean, Embiid's been awesome though.
yeah. Another banner. Well, he actually played well last night. Did not matter.
He hasn't played well.
He played well last night.
He played well last night.
Did not matter. The Sixers lose again, and look at that. Paul George gets hurt again. Same knee he hyperextended in the preseason. He did it again.
Yeah.
They had Maxey back, who's on a minutes restriction, excuse me. And they had Paul George back, Embiid back, McCain, their rookie who's played well. It did not matter. They lost to a beat up Grizzly team who was running out Scottie Pippen Jr. and he played well.
No Ja Morant.
No
Grizzlies team. So they were a healthy unit, or at least a healthy big three unit for 17 minutes. Last night.
Yeah. I mean, they're cursed. I don't know what else to say about the Sixers other than they're cursed. And they're now are they in the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes? They're not going to quit on the year because
I don't think they will.
They've invested too much into this year.
Yeah.
But do we think this team is going to stay healthy enough to get it together to make a run in the East?
Yes.
Like a 3-week span of them playing well and staying healthy would be enough to get them into the top of the, maybe not the top of the conference, but certainly in that 5-6 range, if they could ever put that together.
They're 5 back in the loss column to the Orlando Magic, who are in fourth place.
Yeah, at 2-12 now are the
the Sixers are 2-12. The Orlando Magic are 9-7.
And Orlando Magic have been playing the bulk of the year without Paolo Banchero, and until last night, they were on I think a pretty good winning streak, and then they dropped the game last night. So they had kind of cratered a little bit without Paolo, who started off well. Are great this year. They found it because Franz Wagner had played really well, And then they dropped one last night. So, yeah, the East is still a place where you can make up some ground.
There's four teams above 500 in the East.
Yeah, the Magic lost to the Clippers last night on the road. So, yeah, that's where we stand. But the Rockets themselves, 11-5, a game out from the top spot with the Warriors, Thunder, and Lakers, who have now won six in a row ahead of them. And that led to LeBron telling the world, I told you about Dalton Connect. People didn't trust me because you always say I'm a liar. He acknowledged the Internet's thoughts about him always lying about things. He goes, everyone thinks I'm a liar. Everyone talks about it. But I told y'all about Dalton Connect, who has played well recently. We went over some of the numbers, I believe.
I'm good on the Dalton Connect victory lap 10 games into his career.
Yeah, we can hold off.
I'm fine.
We can hold off because he was not good early, and then he has been good lately. And people are deciding to make sweeping judgments on what he'll be.
I do have something related to the Rockets and the Giannis question. Maybe we do it after the break.
Yeah, because we'll play the sound from Brian Windhorst about those Rockets and who's untouchable and who isn't. And it's interesting considering the guys who are untouchable don't even start. So we'll hear that sound and we'll get more into why they may be holding off on a big decision about what their core can and cannot achieve. So we're just getting started here on the show. We'll get into expectations for this weekend in college football. We got a surprising game, the Big 12, that could decide half of the Big 12 title race. We also get go around the rest of college football because the Ohio State-Indiana game is a big deal. More complaining from SEC coaches, of course, because they're never going to stop with that as a stump and campaign. And I need NBC to get something done. Get it done. We'll explain it later, but NBC is in negotiations with the man who created the best NBA theme song of all time. And the negotiations need to go one way. So we'll talk about that as well. But first, Sean wants to tell you, does he want to tell you about Prize Picks? No, that's in the next hour. That's at 11:13, not at 10:13. So we'll get out of here. We'll go to break, and we'll be back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
A lot of you guys called in, but because John and Lance aren't men of the people, they didn't take the calls. You want to get in at any point, you can, 713-780-3776. I saw some of you. Now, I know listening habits change, but you guys were holding for like 20 minutes and those guys still didn't get to you. You know that's not a thing here. You get in pretty much as soon as we see you. So yeah.
No promises on the wait time, though. That was a different show.
Yeah. I can't say we have the shortest wait times in all of the industry. That's a different show's bit.
Yeah, we'd have to pay Raheel a nickel every time we say that.
Yeah, so I won't say that, but you know, you guys call in. We'll get to you as quickly as possible, 713-780-3776. But while we wait, I guess, for you guys, let's get to this. Two guys are untouchable for the Rockets. No matter what trade you try to formulate, you go on the trade machine, you make a graphic and put it up on Twitter for engagement. Don't include these two guys because it ain't going to happen. Brian Windhorst yesterday told us who the Rockets won't trade no matter what.
The message, you know, there's some teams that have been watching the Rockets, waiting to see if they move. And the message that's been sent out is that those two guys that McMahon just mentioned, Tari Eason and Amen Thompson, guys they drafted in the last 3 years, are untouchable. Now, everything in life is a negotiation, especially in the NBA, but I'm told those guys are untouchable. I'm not sure who else that affects on the roster, but I would just say
it would have to be one heck of a return to get the Rockets to consider trading either of those guys. They love those guys, and I think they fit the mold that Ime Udoka wants in Houston. And
that is Brian Windhorst. I think Tim McMahon is the second voice you heard. Yeah. Amen and Tari are not even just culture fits, they're kind of culture setters. The thought was you would have Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks as your veterans who taught you how to win. Of course, you bring in Steven Adams. But as far as what you want this team to be night after night, Amen Thompson and Tari, those guys. They have the nickname Terror Twins for a reason. They're the biggest reason why the Rockets are hard to play. And not just hard to play because they're talented. They're just, it's hard to play the way you want to because those guys are so disruptive.
It's literally just a pain in the ass.
It's a pain in the ass to play them. You don't want to do it.
Which in the regular season
is perfect.
Can get you a lot of wins.
Yes.
If you're just a pain in the ass.
You can hustle your way to 46 wins doing it the way they're doing it. Of course, the ultimate goal for the Rockets is to win a title, and not that it has to be done this year. So it doesn't really matter how it gets done this year. Later as we see development, what we want to see from them, then we can start to get into half-court offense. Can these guys create their own shot consistently? But for right now, what they do is perfect for what the Rockets want. And they're untouchable, and they don't start, which I don't know how many guys you can say that about. Forget about this year, but ever. Guys who are considered untouchable, who don't get to run out there at the start of the game. Now, starters' minutes, who closes, who starts. You know, we always have those questions about what matters more. Of course, you want to be out there when the game is on the line. But they're at a point where they can still play those guys off the bench. And you don't know how being in the NBA affects people because egos start to pop up. And you're like, wait a minute, if I'm untouchable, why am I sitting behind Dylan Brooks? Why aren't I starting? Why am I sitting behind Jabari, who had a nice game shooting last night? But that's, I guess, down the line. Right now, the role and how they fit him are perfect. And all credit to the drafting of the Rockets. Whatever we think of the ceiling for Jalen Green, or if you buy into the Baby Jokic stuff with Şengün, they hit more often than not on their picks. Like, you know, Ty, among and others, Garuba, those guys obviously didn't work out. Some guys aren't. But you have hit guys at a real clip. We're talking like OKC clip, and hell, their best player is a guy they traded for. So there are some differences, but credit to that front office.
So I think maybe this is a little bit of prisoner moment, and like today they're the 4 seed in the West. They have what, 11-4 record?
11-5.
So this is obviously like asking it at a high point for the season. But with the Giannis news, or the Giannis we're not interested news, mm-hmm. How successful do the Rockets have to be for you not to want to trade to break up this young core for Giannis? Like how, like, because chances are, no matter what, it's not happening in the season. Just ahead the timing of it, you need Giannis to be way more upset way faster mm-hmm. than he is right now. You probably need the Bucks to fall flat in the playoffs again.
Another disaster playoff run for them, yeah.
So that gives this Rockets team, theoretically, the rest of the season to see what they do. How good do they have? What is like the benchmark for you to be like, you know what? I actually am not interested in breaking up this core for Giannis. I mean, Durant's probably a different level, you know, like
yeah.
Booker, whoever superstar X who could be available.
You know, that question popped up this morning and they were both against it. And in the moment you think about the guys you draft, you're attached to them. You want to see them go together. The thought of a young team building and growing together and then becoming a title contender and eventually winning it is like the dream of everybody. You want that to happen. Of course, me being the contrarian, I just laid out examples of how long are you willing to wait? Because these guys aren't 25, 26 where they're nearing their prime. We're talking at the very beginning of understanding how to play basketball at this level. So are you willing to wait 5 years? And you may say, why would it take that long? I'm just going by NBA history. And if we're talking 4 or 5 years down the line, they're not all going to be here. You're not going to pay all of them. If you have two untouchable players and then you already are giving money to Şengün and to Green, you're not going to be able to pay everyone. And of course you have the promise of Reed Shepard, and Jabari's going to ask for money when his time comes. How much are you willing to dole out to keep this roster together, considering the constraints the new CBA has put on roster building? So you have to take that into consideration. It's not this utopia where, hey, all 5, 6, 7, whatever you think the core is, can grow together, and you can pay them reasonable amounts, and they can stay together. Hell, the Rockets' greatest run since the title team that they celebrated yesterday was the fact that Oklahoma City had to make a decision, and that was before the big constraints. They had to make a decision. Do we want to pay Ibaka, or are we paying James Harden, and they decided, hey, we already got a perimeter player in Russell. We got Kevin Durant as our scorer. We want to stay big and keep Ibaka. They said, hey, we can't pay James. He's got to go. And the Rockets took off from there. So, with all the caveats that I threw in, it really depends on who you have to send out. For me, if the Bucks and they would be in their rights to ask, say, yeah, you know that cool nickname you have for those two guys? We want that nickname in Milwaukee. And throwing Şengün in there. And you know what? Since you gave us your two untouchable guys and Şengün, we'll only take two picks from you. Does that sound like something you want to do? Probably not, right? But you are getting a top five player. If they're asking for that much, I can't be guaranteed that Giannis, Jalen Green, Jabari, and Dylan Brooks are a real title contender. So I'm going to say no. I'm passing. Because I don't think what's left over is good enough unless there's another trade that we haven't foreseen coming. What they would have left wouldn't be good enough. So I'm saying no. Not because I'm against tearing apart this core. You would have to make another move to be a real title contender in my eyes.
Yeah. And just to like drive it home even more, like the youngest guys in recent history that win finals MVP, just like win finals MVP. All of them are 25, 20. There might be a 23. I think like Tim Duncan was 23, but obviously that way different
99,
circumstance. Yeah. Yeah.
I think Wade was 24. So he had spent a lot of time in college.
But you also think about these guys who are the second, third, fourth best players on these teams. That's older Shaq. It's like that Miami team.
Yeah,
that was just all veterans other than Dwayne Wade.
Yes.
The Spurs teams at that point in the late 90s.
Avery Johnson.
All veterans except for Tim Duncan, who also stayed in college.
He also had one of the greatest coaches of all time. We didn't know at the time, but that was coming too.
Yeah. Kawhi Leonard.
The older
Spurs all around him. So there, you do need Giannis, I think, was like 25 when he won finals MVP. Brook Lopez, Drew Holiday,
Chris Middleton.
They
had veterans everywhere.
Yeah.
This team would have veterans, but not veterans we think are good enough to be the second and third player on a title team. So
you are probably gonna have to wait a little. Like if you do want to stay patient, just know that you're signing up for like 4 years of patience.
And that's what I laid out to the guys. And you know, there's some pushback about what Golden State did. Well, Golden State made the playoffs twice.
Yeah.
Had a flame out in the first round the second time, then fired the coach to get it done. So it wasn't like, I know people think it happened overnight, but they had issues with Curry and his ankle. They weren't sure. Mm-hmm. Kind of the reason Golden State was able to sign KD is because Curry's contract was so favorable because they didn't want to give him a lot of money initially because of his ankle.
Yeah.
A lot of things worked out for them, and they weren't great initially. It took building to getting to the playoffs. It took going through a coach who wasn't good enough, firing him, and then they took off in year one with Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
So it can happen a lot of different ways. I just wouldn't compare them any potential shooting up the contender ranks to Golden State.
Yeah.
I don't think that happened overnight.
Curry was drafted in 2009.
Yeah.
The year they won the championship was 2015.
Yeah. So
that's six years.
He was a young veteran.
Yes.
At that time. He spent, 3 years in college too?
Yes.
So he was at least in this.
At least 2 years ago.
Yeah, he was 27, 26 when they got going and won. Mm-hmm. So I don't. The comps, you just look at NBA history, and winning early with 23-year-olds is not how it works.
Maybe you're the OKC team, the 2012 OKC team.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes, if you have three Hall of Famers on the roster.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Three guys that would go on to win MVP.
Yes, if you have that, then keep them all together and get ready because things are going to pop off pretty quickly for the Rockets. Irv, ICU/Eric/LaRossa. The intern's up on your game. So you have to wait because you tricked the intern 2 days in a row. Normally I would get to you, but you know what you did. So before we get to Irv, we will come back and get to him. But before we do that, let's talk about MyBookie. It's Thursday, which means it's risk-free betting. So if you want to bet on tonight's games, particularly that Thursday night game on Prime, you can do that with MyBookie. And if you're wrong, who cares? You get your money back. That's perfect for Thursdays. You're not sure about something in college basketball? A lot of games to look at. Once again, if you're wrong, doesn't hurt you at all. But if you win, obviously you keep your money. Go to mybookie.ag to try that out. You can bet on the NFL, the NBA, college football, NHL, all that and more. MyBookie provides that. And remember, They have that tiered program, that loyalty program, where the more times you bet, the more chances you have to win prizes. That's pretty nice. Use their promo code BET975 and check them out. They match up to $1,000. So spend $400. You have your own. You get to use $400 of theirs. That's pretty nice. MyBookie.ag is the website. Remember, you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So, it didn't just break, but Luka is going to be out for some time with a wrist injury. And Sean and I, in a break, were just going through all the teams in the West who are dealing with major injuries, from the Suns with Durant and Beal, as far as maybe not major injuries as far as they're going to miss 3 months, but just missing time, an extended amount of time early in the year. Obviously, Luka, I just mentioned. You've got the Pelicans who don't have Zion, Brandon Ingram. CJ McCollum didn't play yesterday, which led to Elfrid Payton starting at point guard. In the year 2024, Elfrid Payton is starting at guard in the NBA again because of injury. So part of the benefit of being young and full of guys who are talented, it feels like you don't get beat up as much. All the aches and pains that keep the older teams out and hurt them when they're trying to win games hasn't popped up with the Rockets. And even if it does, you have another guy waiting and begging for a minute. So all good for the Rockets right now, 11-5. And two games against, I would say, Irv hung up. Sorry, Irv.
Yeah.
You ain't built for this, apparently. Well, two games to go with the surprising Portland Trail Blazers, mostly because they had won three in a row, which I never thought they would do this year.
Yeah, they beat the T-Wolves twice.
One in the great NBA Cup.
Yes, which ramifications for
opens
West
up,
Group.
Opens up the group for the Rockets.
Group the Rockets are in. They should name the group something other than ABC.
Yeah, it doesn't help you remember it.
Just name them after somebody.
Yeah.
Don't even have to be like Michael Jordan or anything. Just name them after NBA Cup legends.
Mitch Richmond.
Or NBA Cup legends.
Like Austin Reeves?
Yeah, Austin Reeves. Ben Mathurin.
Yeah. Yeah. Aaron Nesmith from last
year. Aaron Nesmith.
Yeah, all those guys from last year who won.
Just name something other than ABC, because I do not know which letter the Rockets are in. But I do know that they are in the same group as Minnesota and Portland. So that Minnesota getting a loss is big. Rockets need a win, and probably win with some style points to help with the point differential.
Yeah, let's blow out the Blazers.
If you can, just run it up. Yeah, they did it against the Clippers last week.
Yeah, no need to stop against the Blazers, who are scrappier than you might think. So they're not
as bad. They're like worse Rockets. They're kind of just like Rockets, but everything just didn't work out quite as well.
Yeah, Klingon has played well early. Robert Williams, when he can actually play, has been effective. Scoot Henderson is still a guy you're not sure about. Shane Sharp has been good early in the season. So they've got some guys that are young but aren't the type of, at least aren't on the trajectory right now that the Rockets are.
DeAndre Ayton.
Dominating?
Dominating. He's still like, what, 26, 25?
Yeah, he's always looked like he's 36. But
he has Greg Oden-itis.
Yeah, but he is like 26 and still thinks he's one of the best players in the game. But
dominating.
He is not doing
anything. Just read his back tattoo.
Yeah, just ask the Blazers why they feel better about playing the rookie Klingon as opposed to dominating. So that answers your question. But the Blazers' leading scorer is one Jeremy Grant at under 17 points per game. So they're not actually high scoring. But they do show up and they try hard, which is something that they have not done recently. So we'll see what happens when the Rockets have two games in a row against the Blazers. The first one is tomorrow at Toyota Center. All right, anyone want to get in? You can. We got a call right now. Maybe that's Irv calling back, 713-780-3776. So the Texans were back at practice yesterday. Kamari Lassiter limited, Will Anderson limited. The belief is they both will be available for Sunday, but you never know. But at this point, limited participants yesterday. Christian Harris obviously did not practice, but D'Amico says he believes he'll be back this year. This feels like an Astros thing. We'll believe it when we see it. But your head coach is saying Christian Harris won't be out all year. So that'd be great if we can actually see him before the regular season is over. Loadasa/Eric/Irv has called back in. And I want to let you know before you say a word, Irv, that the intern you tried the trick yesterday says she understands why you would pretend to be Eric, because Irv is a terrible name. Welcome, Irv, Eric Loadasa.
Thank you, Dale. Long time caller, first time listener.
That's not true.
What up, Shawnee? How you doing?
Doing all right, Loadasa.
Man. All right. Hey, gentlemen, look, man, Bill, you pretty much just kind of took it away from me, but the Rockets, and why destroy this core, and then you just started the rebuild button from destroying everything you did from before, just take all the bad juju away, forget about Daryl Morey, James Harden, hit the reset button, but why go through the trouble of struggling 4 or 5 years? Who was their coach, man? Steven Silas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, why struggle 4 or 5 years and then at least have a potential with this young core and coming up with them, at least try to see develop. Maybe they become a team. I know we don't have a star here, a superstar to say like that, but I wouldn't want Giannis here. You know how much money we're going to have to pay that man after a while? And for that, I mean, I feel like this kind of feels like the Astros of 2015. When you start building them up again, and they, like, you know, you get those young picks, early picks, just go with it, man. Don't try to disrupt this core. You know, I agree with you there because you kind of pretty much, you know, say what I was going to say. But why are we not focusing on women's basketball anymore? What's going on?
What do you mean?
The Lady Cocks are undefeated. UConn's undefeated, and the Lady Horns are going up there, man. Who do you think is going to win this year, man? I'm going for the Lady Cocks, man.
You done? Man just called in to say that. Look at Joe. I can see Joe looking at me through two panes of glass. Joe, I didn't tell him to say what he said. The Lady Gamecocks is what he's referring to. And I don't think they call them what you're calling them. I think they do that for that. They call them the Lady Gamecocks for that reason.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can buy merch.
I don't think you can buy any merch that says Lady that. Non-Gamecocks. I think it says Lady Gamecocks, and that's it. Game is a very important part of the branding there. Why we don't pay attention to women's basketball? I mean, this show has never had a giant focus on it, but also it's the regular season. We're not really paying that much attention to men's college basketball. If I'm going to address you seriously, although I know why you called, but let me address what you're saying seriously for someone who's like, hey, how come you're not paying attention to women's basketball? Well, first things first. Caitlin Clark's not playing in the college ranks anymore. Maybe you like the Cavender twins. They started out well for Miami. Haley Van Lith at TCU. You want to pay attention to her? Sure. But it's not the tournament. If men's basketball isn't going to get that type of run, women's basketball is it? I know UConn and Geno celebrated yesterday. Geno, what did he break? The all-time wins total? So congratulations.
Finally.
Yeah, he's been doing this for years.
I feel like he did was win 90 games in a row my entire childhood.
Yeah, what took you so long, Gino? What the hell? Pick it up. So he did that. A lot of the UConn greats were there. Maya Moore, Sue Bird, I think Diana Taurasi was there as well. So, but as far as the games with the current players, we'll wait. As the postseason comes around, I'm sure we'll talk about it more. But
yeah, I mean, the number four team in the nation, the Texas Longhorns, at home last night, beat Tarleton State 83-41.
You want us to break that down? No, you don't. You just want to get off your joke, which I get.
Big game by Madison Booker.
Shaylee Gonzalez is no longer there, and she like playing in Europe now.
Yeah,
the transfer from BYU. I know of her because she had a YouTube following.
Rory Harmon coming back from injury.
Yeah, so the Horns are going to be good.
Probably, it's too early to tell.
Yeah, who knows? But probably better than the men. I think we can say that for sure,
yes.
Right? Yes. Yes. Ronnie Terry, what up?
I will not say anything.
Can wait on it.
I'm going to wait until Trevon Mark comes back to make my opinions known.
You need that one final piece before you make a decision.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I respect that.
I'll give him conference play.
I respect that.
I'll give him 3 games of conference.
But I guess we can tell where you're leaning if you're only giving them 3 conference games.
It's the SEC. It's not the Big 12 anymore.
It's true. But the SEC's fine, right? It's Auburn, Tennessee.
Good. It's good.
Yeah.
It's not.
You got Cal at Arkansas now.
It's not Big 12 good.
No. It's not. But we'll see how the Texas Longhorns do in men's college basketball. Okay. I was going to get to the Texans sound, but we got derailed. So we'll get to what CJ said about Tytus Howard and his performance. And I appreciate the pettiness from Micah Parsons. I'm not going to get into him just saying stuff in the microphone saying we're a damn good football team. Look, I got a microphone in my face. I say some things just because there is one. He's got, I don't know, an hour to fill to talk about his dumb, stupid football team. Of course he's going to say dumb things. I ain't going to hold him to account for that. But I will talk about what he said about Dalton Schultz because I agree with him. I agree. It's not like me to agree with the Cowboys, but in this case, I agree with Micah Parsons said. So we'll hear from him. We'll hear from CJ Stroud when we come back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
(713) 780-3776 is the number if you want to call in. And we do have a call from Pena, so we'll get to him and then, depending on how this goes, we may get to the Texans here or get to them in hour two. What's up, Pena?
Yeah, what up, Dale? Hey, man. So since they said Amari Thompson and Tari Eason are untouchable, what do you think we can get for probably – I mean, this is just a speculation. What do you think we can get for Jalen Green and Sengun as a package or individually? It's just for talk. I'm not saying I want that to happen. It's just for talk. And how do you like Jakob Poeltl for 28.5 PAR under or over? Thank you. Have a great day.
I'm assuming that's points, assists, and rebounds. What does PAR mean?
PRA, yeah. Points, rebounds, assists.
Points, rebounds. Who is Jakob Poeltl playing? The
Raptors? At least for the Raptors. No. Oh, who are the Raptors playing?
Yeah, who are they playing? Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Believe it or not, I don't have that.
It's not surprising. They're playing the Wolves at home. 28 combined for Jakob Poeltl, or Poeltl.
Mm. He's been going over lately.
Yeah, he was good against the Rockets, wasn't he? Who was I watching where he was lighting some team up? I forgot who it was. It wasn't the Rockets.
Boston.
I was watching him against Boston, and the announcer's like, Jakob Poeltl again? They were incredulous. Brian Scalabrine was incredulous that he kept scoring on them.
Someone box that guy out.
Yeah. Brian Scalabrine, the guy who said that if Peyton Pritchard was getting starters minutes, he can go for 28-7, averaging 28-7. As I thought to myself, look, I know you're the hack, the homer for the home team, but Peyton Pritchard is 6'1". Forget about this season. How many 6'1 guys in NBA history go for 28-7? And Peyton Pritchard is going to be the guy who does it?
Yeah.
Once again, some guy with a mic in his face just saying stuff. I thought to myself, wait a minute.
That's like what LeBron averages.
Yeah. A 6'1 guard who can't beat anyone off the dribble is going, unless they're late on a closeout because the Celtics are swinging the ball around. He ain't beating anyone off the dribble without that. He's going for 28-7 with starters minutes. Cut it out. So you're saying he's a Hall of Famer is what you're saying, if he started. All right.
Enough. You'd be on a Hall of Fame pace. Don't be ridiculous.
But if he thinks that's what's in him, he thinks he's got Hall of Fame potential.
The guy's currently averaging over 27 points per game. Anthony Edwards.
Okay.
Luka Doncic.
Okay.
LaMelo Ball.
Mm-hmm.
SGA. De'Aaron Fox. Jokic, Tatum, AD, Giannis.
I don't hear any 6'1 guys in there.
Okay. Brunson is next. Brunson's at 25.
Yes. I think he might have gotten to 27 or so last year, but he didn't average eight assists. He didn't do that, which is part of the equation, too. Okay, as far as Jakob Poeltl.
Sure.
Sure, go ahead. Don't ask us. I mean, I don't know. It's the Raptors versus the Wolves. The Raptors are scrappy, too. They don't win games, but they're scrappy. They pushed the Celtics in that game I watched. Sure. I mean, is Rudy Gobert playing? It's probably going to be a little difficult for him. to get to that number with Gobert out there. I mean, against Minnesota, he averages 8-3. They played already once this year, and he went for 8-3. So probably don't do that. Probably go under.
Okay.
I mean,
less.
Yes, less than 28 or whatever the number is. I hope we satisfied your interest, Pena. The other thing, as far as the Rockets are concerned, what could you get for Green and Şengün either together or separate? I'll ask you this, Sean, because I'm not sure about this. Is Jalen Green, considering what he will be paid next year, someone where a team would have to add picks and a player to get him? Is he a positive value right now for a team? Inefficient?
I think so. I think just because people look at him as still having upside.
Yes, I would agree. But if you remove potential from the equation, which you cannot, obviously, we're dealing then in no. reality.
No.
But how he plays
yeah.
and he's, what he's going to get paid next year,
yeah,
I'm not trading for that guy unless you're giving me something to take him on.
Yeah.
But you have to have the belief that he will develop into this on-ball dynamic player who will make shots at a more efficient clip and can be a lead guard or at least a complimentary second piece on a team.
Could you trade with those two guys for Zion Williamson?
Yes. Let's remove the want to and if it's a good decision.
Just, yeah,
but
just
could
like
you?
Theoretically.
Would the Pelicans would be sick teams... of his crap? And yeah. by crap, I just mean injuries. I don't know what he is as a player as a person in the facility when he's yeah. when he's actually just hanging out. But as a player and his injuries, could you get the Pelicans off of Zion? For Şengün and Green? I think that's a close one.
Yeah, or let's just say, like, theoretically, like
Şengün and picks. How about Şengün and picks?
Yeah, probably. Şengün
and
the Rockets have like
Şengün and three
six
first
picks
round. Could you get the Pelicans to trade you Zion for Şengün and three first round picks?
If the Pelicans are shopping them, I have a hard time thinking that they get
that's enough.
A better.
Oh, yeah. you think they wouldn't get anywhere close to that?
Or not anywhere close, but I think that'd be the best.
That's
offer.
The best offer. You're getting. Now, Şengün had a good night last night, but he hasn't been great this year.
You're just getting a different post scorer with...
Who's more durable.
More durable and probably better at defense.
Probably. I mean, like, when Zion...
Like Shingun's been pretty good. The advanced numbers really like what...
Yeah, when Zion is engaged and trying and in shape, yeah, tremendous athlete, but we rarely get that. He's not around enough. And you're already expecting the next injury as soon as he comes back from... The current injury.
Could they? Okay. I guess this is just kind of comparing what he got traded for. Karl Anthony Towns.
Could they get. What
for
do you
Karl Towns for the Jalen and Aprin Şengün.
He got traded for Randle and DiVincenzo.
Yes. And maybe a pick. I don't remember
if there was a pick involved. There might have been. No. You're not getting Karl Anthony Towns for that.
Can you get Randle and DiVincenzo for Jalen and
I think Minnesota would do it for Şengün. But I don't know where they're playing Jalen Green though.
Yeah. That's what you're gonna pay, have to take that
you're
out
gonna,
of the
you're gonna pay a backup $30 million.
Yeah. Hey.
A not
just send us Rob Dillingham back. We're good.
Okay.
Deal is deal. Now we have the Kentucky backcourt from last year that was a 3 seed and lost in the first round.
Yeah. You mean the one that didn't start for parts of the year?
Those guys didn't start.
Yeah.
I forgot. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Rick Pitino didn't start two top 10 picks.
I think Antonio Reeves did play for the Pelicans, which, by the way, like Pelicans are basically having open tryouts.
Sure.
So whatever. But Antonio Reeves did play last night.
I think Şengün, very valuable, despite the slow start, even though he played well yesterday. Jalen Green is my question mark. If you're throwing him in a deal where you're putting those two together, I think you'd have to make up for what people think of Jalen Green.
Could you trade for Jimmy Butler?
For Şengün and Green?
Yeah. Şengün and Green, Jimmy Butler.
The problem in this scenario is amazingly enough, Tyler Hero's playing at an all-star level.
Yeah,
so
we got Jalen Green at home.
We got
and now point, he's actually starting to play good.
We actually got a more efficient Jalen Green. I know it's hard to believe. We got a more efficient Jalen Green at home. Why would we want him?
Wait, is Jalen Green just 2 years behind the Tyler Hero track?
And by the way, Tyler Hero's been around so long, people think he's like old. He's like 24.
Yeah. No, yeah, he's like 2019 draft.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think because he's been playing meaningful minutes his entire career, people think he's like 27, 28. He's only 24 years
There's
old.
There's one draft between him and Jalen Green.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you could get Jimmy Butler for both. Yes, I think you could. I think, but not now. The Heat would have to be 24 and 25, and they eventually make the move, something like that.
James Harden for those two guys.
Stop it. The Rockets aren't doing that. Yes, the Clippers would do it, but the Rockets aren't doing that. Yes, yes. Well, let's not sink to certain depths.
It's a very fun game to play.
It's a very fun game because the Şengün thing is obvious, but then you have to include what do people think about Jalen Green,
Tyrese
who are actually
Halliburton.
Executives as opposed to like Slam Magazine's Twitter account where they think highly of him, and Bleacher Report probably does too.
Tyrese Halliburton for those two guys.
Yes, stop it. This Tyrese Halliburton?
Yeah, Jalen's better than him.
Yeah, what are we talking about? We saw last night. Why would yes, of course you would. We saw them on the same floor. Wasn't even a comparison. All right. Silly stuff can always continue if you want to add to it, but we'll get to some text and stuff.